interview workshop in Kaskamhuk at Burns Hill. It's the 16th of January 2014, and it's about midday. We are with Mazibuko and the field workers of Ntinga. And Lee Watkins is going to give the presentation.
I'm going to start with it's just one of the, because we've been working with you for a long time now, and a lot of times we come and we go and there's no real exchange or contact or sharing of various skills and so on. Okay, so the name, my name is Lee. Okay, so the one of the main things that as, because you are field workers and we are relying on you very strongly. So, and then one of the things that we picked up along our experience is the interviewing and part of the fieldwork experience, which is a very important part, how to interview people, the techniques, the technology that we need to use, the questions, how do we ask questions, and also the personalities, you know, and things like ethics or like how we treat others. So for example, I might ask, so let's say to make a question and she refuses to answer, and then I push her, I say, I want an answer. Now the real, if you're a field worker with sensitive enough and aware enough of others, right, not to speak, they'll be back down and so on. But you won't be pushing a person, say, I want this answer, I want it, so on. So it's all these relationships with the people that you work with or that you speak to, that's a very important relationship, especially for us doing field work. You know, if we mess up that relationship, we are not going to achieve anything. So it's very important to, I'm not saying that, okay, yeah, so it's, that's one of the issues we picked up. So I thought today, and maybe after discussions also with others, realize that they're maybe learning a little more about interviews and how to do it is, it's going to be part of experience, the development as field workers, you know, how to conduct. Okay, so to start off with, I thought we'd, so I can do this the easy way, but just forget about videos and slides, but I can do the hard way with slides and videos. Okay, I'll try a little bit of both. So, a bit of the guidelines, I thought if you like to add it, critique, but then, so when we know discussions going on, where we comment about how we interview others, we have activities here, we have little performances, we interview one another, so, and then I'd like to see that we offer critiques, we say, that could be better, this could be wrong, that's probably the right way to do it and so on, okay? But we won't be personalizing it or criticizing, saying that that's bad, you're no use, for example. The second is when giving feedback, that's responses to various actions or activities. We use affirmatives and not negatives. You all understand what it means. Okay. Anyone can explain what the second point means? The giving affirmative rather than negatives. Okay, it just means it just means that instead of saying you can't, we use the word can. Okay, so kind of mind shift from can't to can. Okay, and to also say that you don't understand, I've tried to cut away a lot of the difficult language and concepts because it slows things down. It's not always very useful. Okay, so when you don't understand a particular issue or even how to use a camera, it's your please feel free to ask. And then allowing a time for us to speak and express ourselves. So It's very important as well, so that it's a kind of creating a space for dialogue, which I believe Thavakandora is very concerned about. Confidentiality, no personal information shared in the workshop. I don't think it's about us so much, but it's... So I thought, are there any other guidelines that you think that we should uphold or stick to? What else do you think should we observe while we engage in learning about interviews? Police is ready to.
You must put our cell phones on silent.
Cell phones on silent, very important, okay? Anything else?
Respect each other's views.
Yes, that's important. Respect each other's views. Anyone else? Okay.
So we also respect each other's religion.
Religion?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. You believe, say what you believe in. Okay. Anyone else?
Active listening.
Active listening. That's important, yes. To not... Okay, can you explain that to us, what it means? Yeah, that's also important with interviews, even that we'll see later on. Those features. Okay, trying to get the last call. Is there any other comments or guidelines you think that we are to listen and should include? Okay, so this is like a few guidelines across the ones on the sheet then. So that's going to guide us while we engage with each other and talk and in dialogue, engage in dialogue and so on. Okay, so I think you've got an agenda here for the workshop, but I'm going to, there'll be breaks, and let's have a break every 45 minutes or so just to think and talk and so on. But let's see how far we go with the agenda that we have here. Okay, so this guidelines, that's one aspect of the just the way we're going to proceed as into this thing. Okay, so the second point I'd like to also maybe look at is also look at I believe we did receive some training in fieldwork experience, fieldwork techniques. We were issued a memo at some point. If I'm correct, today, 2 or 3 years ago, I think that was one of the things I heard. Okay, so one aspect of the field work that we do is also to gain information. Now we can go and sit in the libraries and read up, or in the intake, read up on certain cultures, certain people, certain traditions, and so on. But that's kind of second-hand information. Okay, so what we're looking at as field workers is we're looking at first-hand information. It doesn't come to us via books or internet or letters or those kinds of things. Our source is our human beings, the person next to us, the elder in the family or in the village or in town. The cultural practitioners, those who are maybe guitarists or play the various bows or knows a lot of folk tales and so on. So those are your cultural practitioners. So a lot of the field that we do is to go to those people and we ask them, what can it tell us about that tradition, okay, or about certain historical event. So the word that's often used to describe is qualitative research, but it's also looking at, when you speak to people, especially older ones, it's also to think of oral history. That means we we don't go into the books, but people, we are all bearers of great amounts of knowledge. Virginia knows a lot, right, Virginia? You know, okay. Lots of us, we know a lot of things, okay, and especially the older we become, we learn a lot more, become wiser or more stubborn or whatever it is, but we have a lot of stories. And so younger generation, maybe your grandparents, will tell you stories about the past, how wonderful it was, and how wonderfully behaved the young people were as compared to today. All these are like part of history, so we learn from them and to record as much as we can. So there's a lot of things in common between fieldwork, research, speaking to people, and oral histories, you know, collecting information about certain conditions, about certain events, about certain past and so on. And of course also the idea of memory, and that's, I think, with all my encounters now again, Tabang and Dore, a lot of people struggle to remember a lot of things. So that's part of the other aspect of qualitative research. Okay, so as first exercise, I'd like us to think about the, and maybe it's the, okay, so we have on the second sheet, and then I should just come back to the first one, The second sheet here, the research order, that means we'll take stock of what we learned as while we're going out into field work, going to speak to people, making contacts, working with us, what is experience like, what have you learned, what is good, what are the bad things, bearing in mind these guidelines, nothing personal, just critical critique, but not criticizing. Okay, so shall we start with, maybe Nicole can start with the, she did say she volunteered. Just to look at our research experience, the, the good things, the bad things, where you can improve, what you learn as individual field workers, as when you go out on your own and when we are with you, come to you. What is the experience like? What skills? And that's the important of the audit, is to know, to realize what skills do you think you have acquired, which ones you'd like to improve on it. That's all. Okay, shall we start with Nicole?
So let's just give some experiences that I've had.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, in some interviews I've done, I asked one person for an interview, and they asked whether they could bring a friend. And then it kind of ended up that there was a whole group of people. And that made the interview a bit difficult when I was searching for information from each person particularly. So just to bear in mind, you have to know if you want to interview a whole group together, which can be very good. People spill out thoughts for each other. Or if you want one person, you have to be clear with yourself about that. Sure, also one thing that I can definitely say should be done is know your questions very well. Know exactly what information you would like. If the people know some of the information, that's brilliant. If they can't answer your questions, that's also okay. But know what you are there for. Know how to ask questions to them as well. Sometimes I will get a bit confused and make these long questions and explain what I'm thinking, and eventually they will get a bit confused. So really think about it beforehand. And just put simple questions, even if you have to ask many. And then the last thing, people often tend to talk about things that might not really be related to what you're looking for, what you're asking even. So also try and direct the conversation. You can make them speak and express themselves. If it's going on for quite a while and they're really getting the topic, try and bring them back, you know, try and ask the question in a different way. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Done? Okay, cool, done.
Okay,
thank
you. Firstly, ask for the peace.
that is being inclusive.
Oh, all that comes in the research, we in any place. I've been doing bunch of art, Tetan, I measure for me. These are the sporting barina.
That's important, yeah, but not to direct the conversation or give the answers for the people. Together? Pass.
Oh, that's good.
That's been a challenge. Marcy?
One or two.
That's very English.
No, I only struggle with whether one has prepared the issues to ask questions around. I'm very helpful and relevant. I'm helpful and relevant to the people's interests that you. That's one thing which always plays in my mind, because it just makes one always uncertain when asking relevant questions to these people. So, in that, it's quite a challenge for me is to sift and choose what is important, what is useful in that.
That's one of the tactics that they use. Is that you can repeat it?
Or, unless I think, after you decide on which questions you want to ask them, what is it you want to ask those questions, or I think the attitude is very important. Because sometimes you ask other people about the traditional stuff, they can't just ask.
Okay, so if you look at the, I think everyone's answered now. Should I also answer? I'll leave my. Okay, so you can see if you look at that list there that you've not only been going there and spending time and speaking to people, but you've also been thinking a lot and analyzing your relationships and the way you're conducting yourself. Right? So that is, so that, I think what it's to, there are lots of things you can do with, you can develop these more and be conscious of this, be aware of it, and as you enter the following or the next stage of interviews or encounters, one has this kind of awareness. But then, it's, so a lot of these skills you didn't, or this awareness didn't just pop up overnight. You know, it happened also with, as a result of long time or ongoing experience, contacting people. So it's going to take, so being aware of this is, a lot of these are very good things to remember. And a lot of these things will, sometimes you can't actually remedy them. It's just something that you can't beat. It's just there. But you will, as long as one is aware of, as a field worker, always aware of a lot of these things and many more of them. Always be aware of your relationship. What are you learning? And how can you conduct yourself? How can you improve your research experience? Okay, so is there anyone, if I may ask just a broad question, is there anyone who does not like doing the work of the research? Do all like doing this work, the field work, going out to meet and work with people? Okay, that's good to hear. Because we rely very strongly. We need you. Okay, so. Okay, so the one person likes, also the research already speaks to a lot of your research experiences. Okay, so, and one aspect of the research experience, the interviews, how to conduct interviews. Now, there are lots of different ways of doing it. Okay, so, I will start with a, maybe just show a short video with explaining a little bit, is there volume? This is already open somewhere, is it? Yeah? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to open the folder. Okay, there we go. That's fine, just a little. Just a Okay, so maybe I should just start with a short video. It's because it also strongly links to anti-impressionist about oral histories and how the reasons behind it as well. So try and keep this in mind also, this how it relates to the potentially relates to interviews, conducting them. Oral history, it's part of what we're doing. We actually, although we look at cultural practices and language and music and all that, we're also looking at historical processes, cultural processes over time. So a lot of what we're doing is historical. We're going to older people and we ask them to remember things about the past, whether it's social history or cultural history, whatever it might be. So this is I won't play the whole thing because it carries on for about 8 minutes. Just
Hi, I'm Becca.
And I'm Joe.
I'm Jenny.
And I'm Monica. And we are here to tell you about conducting your interview. Although you might have a great list of questions to ask in your interview, there are some things that you should know about how to do the interview itself.
These are the steps you're going to need to follow. Take a quick look, and we're going to review them in more detail.
The first thing you should do is to set up a controlled interview setting for recording. The interview space should be well lit from in front of the narrator. Be free from distracting noises, and allow the interviewer and narrator to sit about 6 feet from one another, which is a comfortable distance for talking.
Interviews work best when it is just the two of you, the narrator and the interviewer, but it is also acceptable to have a third person operating the recording equipment.
You may want to ask the narrator to repeat your questions before answering. This allows you to completely remove the interviewer's voice from the final video. However, some narrators find this too awkward. If this is the case, then just proceed without having the questions repeated.
Respect the narrator. Your narrator is volunteering time for your oral history project, so be sure to go the extra mile to show respect for your narrator. Common courtesies include being on time for the interview and dressing appropriately, according to what would be socially acceptable to your narrator. An outfit that works for a school dance today might not be right for an interview with someone who grew up wearing much more conservative attire. Remember that your goal is to have your narrator do most of the talking, so resist the temptation to talk about yourself once the interview has begun.
Before the interview, inform the narrator of potential uses for the material gathered in the interview. Even if you don't know exactly what you will do with the final project, make sure that the narrator knows that it might be used for public purposes before you begin recording.
Your job as the interviewer is to be a careful listener and observer. As an active listener, you must maintain eye contact with the narrator and show that you are engaged in what he or she is telling you. Respond silently with smiles and nods when the narrator is talking, rather than with words that break up a narrator's story. You want to not only listen to the answer, but also watch the narrator's body language. If it looks like the narrator is still thinking, then you don't want to interrupt. Instead, sit quietly and wait to see what other thoughts will come. After the narrator has had a few moments to think more about the question, these are often the comments that are the most powerful.
Don't be afraid of silence or moments where the narrator gets emotional. You are asking them about important moments in their lives, and it is perfectly acceptable for them to get choked up as they remember those memories.
In addition, make sure the narrator understands that he or she has the right to refuse to discuss certain subjects. Respond respectfully if he or she seems uncomfortable with a certain question by moving on to another question.
Don't worry if you stumble over your words or if your questions are not as beautifully phrased as you would like. In natural conversations, people pause and say a lot. That's okay in an oral history interview. Give the narrator an opportunity to respond as freely as possible. Don't subject him or her to stereotypical assumptions based on race, ethnicity, class, gender, or any other social or cultural characteristic. For example, do not say something like, "Well, as a woman, I'm sure that you could identify."
What do you do if your narrator goes off on a tangent? If your narrator does ramble, wait for a pause and try to pull him or her back to the subject at hand. You can always go back to your script and move on to the next question.
What do you do if the narrator says something that you think is wrong?
And Germany, I believe, was doing really well in the war at that time.
Do not challenge accounts that you think are inaccurate. Allow the narrator to tell his or her story, and then tactfully point out where his or her account differs from that of others.
Well, actually, I have read that Germany...
Begin by saying, "I have heard that," or "I have read."
Well, maybe you're right at that time.
Follow a structured, well-researched interview format. Use the script that you have created as a guide. Here's the basic outline to follow for your interview. In the introduction, you should state the name of the interviewer and the name of the narrator.
And today is June 5th, 2010, and I'm interviewing Sean.
Also state the date, time, and place of the interview. Finally, explain why you are interviewing this person. Remember that you are doing this interview to record it as part of history. If someone were to find your interview 10 years from now, how would he know why it is important and what it is?
Begin with easy questions, such as those relating to the narrator's background. The purpose of this is to get the narrator talking and to gather some background information that will help set the context for the time period or topic of the interview. If necessary, you can use memory clues, like photos, to get the narrator talking. In addition, you want to set the narrator at ease for the interview, especially as you move on to the more challenging questions. It is important for you to establish a certain level of trust with your narrator. So this beginning part of the interview is very important as you establish your way of relating and interacting with one another.
The middle section is where you will ask most of your interview questions, and where you ask the deeper questions to really get at the narrator's story and how it related to important events and eras in history. This is where you get into the whole purpose of the interview, why you're sitting here with this person, and what you came to learn.
Follow the script that you wrote, but don't feel like you need to follow it exactly. Although you have a script with an orderly list of questions, your job as an interviewer is also to ask follow-up questions that may not be on your script. Your narrator might start talking about something interesting that is relevant to the interview, but that you did not include on your list of questions. Take advantage of this as an opportunity to learn more, and ask the narrator a follow-up question to invite them to talk further about this. However, avoid off-the-record information. A narrator may not be comfortable giving information or telling a story as part of the oral history. If this is the case, it is better to politely decline than to run the risk of accidentally including this in your published oral history later.
End with thought questions. These thought questions ask the narrator to reflect on experiences and give their views about things that have happened in their lifetime. You will have probably covered a lot of different topics by the end of the interview. So this is a chance for the narrator to sort of summarize his or her life experiences.
Keep track of time during the interview. Take breaks if you need to. End the interview in a reasonable amount of time, which is generally between 1 to 2 hours. You can always arrange for a follow-up visit if necessary.
Wrap up after the interview.
Okay, so that gave you quite a bit of information about interviews. That's not just a simple account, but it's very, that one has to be strategic. You have to think prepare carefully and think about the responses about yourself and what you are hearing from the quality of the narrator, or sometimes we call it the informant or the interviewee. Okay, so it's different names. But I'd like us to, maybe you can proceed into the first activity. So I've got these handouts here, which maybe that's okay. So let's see. Okay, I'm going to ask, maybe starting from here. So, well, this will get into introduction to interviews, but you also have various kinds. It's been said there are like 9 kinds of interviews. Okay, but then for us, and in our context, maybe just 3 types are important. The one is structured interviews, unstructured, and semi-structured. So the structured ones are the questionnaires, and they're very formal, and sticking to the words. The semi is kind of half formal and half informal. So depending on your personalities and so on. And the unstructured is just a random discussion. You know, you ask them questions, but they just come off the cuff. They're not very planned very well. But they do speak, or they focus on a particular issue, or speaking to a particular person. So I've got this handout summit. You're not going to go through all of it. It's just the... you can take it home and go through some of it and think about how it applies to your context. But I'd like us to divide into groups of 2 each. So we're going to work on questions. So I've got the main topic here, which is the culture of eating tava kandola, whatever that might be, food, the horse races, the games, the music, the toys, all these kinds of things. Okay, so, and also the history camps. So the main topic is culture, and things that we look at is either you can have an interview with the MEC for Arts and Culture, I'm sure you all like to have that interview. So prepare the questions now. Okay, so we can imagine you're going to speak to the MEC, what kinds of requirements will that take? What kind of relationship do you have with that person, being a politician, for example? And then also that person's attitude or approach towards cultural matters. You know? So trying to keep all those things in mind as you interview the MEC. And the second is interviewing a cultural practitioner. That could be the Gogo Nanga, who plays beautiful bowl music, or tells folk tales or stories, or just someone knows a lot about the history of the area and so on. So, can I divide into groups of 2? And then, okay, so each group will have, say, 1 group will have, okay, so just see. And to separate and then work on, say, let's say, this group of set of 5 questions. 5 questions you ask the MEC or the cultural practitioner, the musician, the folk tales, folk storyteller, and things like that. Just writing down this. Was it okay for the question? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You count. Okay. 7 groups. And, okay, so and after that, preparing them, they're doing questions. Okay, so then we're going to sit in the middle here, and that's when our guidelines come back into play. We're going to look at the guidelines to criticize, but to critique, but not to criticize, and say what is good about it, and where it can improve the questions and also the interaction. Okay, so shall I do a quick walk around and say, maybe just say question 1? I'm going to look at the disputed. Okay, that means 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1. What's the question? Okay, so can I give you a minute to separate and we come back in at 2 o'clock? Okay, so think about questions you ask the ABC for in the easy way. For art, is it the minister or ABC? Minister. And then second is to interview a cultural practitioner. Say maybe 4 or 5 questions. Okay, so we look at the questions, how you frame the questions, what kinds of information you actually want. So after that, we'll return at about 2 o'clock, and you can decide who's going to be asking the questions, and who will reply. And then also we're going to record it on video and watch it on a big screen. If you behave, you can put it on YouTube also. But watch it on the screen, yeah, just to, for anyone to just have something to reflect on. Okay. So 20 minutes, we come back.
Yeah.
Sorry? So into the units, compile, say, 4 questions. And you're going to ask the other person a question.
So, do you want to discuss the questions or like discuss the answer?
Okay, that's fine. It's just the questions. Okay, so maybe just to clear it up, if you look at point 1 or 2, say point 1, you compile 4 questions. Okay, so that those questions must relate to some issue or questions they have that you want to ask that person. So that person is going to be your partner in that group now, say for example. I think your two boys are going to show you. So you will ask two boys 4 or 5 questions, and you will invite those questions. Okay? So we'll look at how you frame your questions, how you ask them, and then also how you invite to them.
Okay, so after 20 minutes I'm going to call you and pretty much doing an interview.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Thank you. There is another calling.
now I don't
Thank you.